You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow and our tame resident commentator, Greg Davies from Kratos Capital, the head of wealth at that institution, is with us. And also, as always on a Thursday, it's David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in the salubrious surroundings of Melrose Arch in Johannesburg as well. David, just before we came on air, you were saying to me, I'm just trying to digest everything. In fact, probably the last 36 hours to 48 hours, things have just turned around extraordinarily. I mean, in the Far East and in Britain as well.
I know. Wherever you look, Lindsay, I'm looking at the US markets now, where the S&P is trading around about 2980. Thereabouts. I don't know, it changes minute to minute. But remember that the all-time high, which we saw, I think, at the end of July, I'm trying to remember the exact date, was in the 3,000 level, 3,013, 3,014, thereabouts, a close. So we're not far from all-time highs. And, if you consider what we've had to go through from the issues in Hong Kong to trade wars to Italy to you name it, and also Brexit, et cetera. The fact that we're close to all-time highs is very remarkable. So, even we saw Treasury yield. So there are a whole lot of things that have happened today which have just kind of turned markets upside down, which includes a lot of results that came out on the JSE as well as economic data. So there are lots of information points that one's got to put together. And also, and above that, we've got these, Cyril Ramaphosa had excused himself from the World Economic Forum to go and address protesters outside Parliament in Cape Town. Yes. There's a whole lot of other issues as well.
And that was an anti-femicide protest, from what I understand, because a friend of mine attended. She phoned me and she said, I can't help you today with the editing of your show because I'm going to Parliament because I'm going to join this protest against violence against women. Is that what it was, David? I think you're right.
Yeah. It was there. I haven't watched the local news program, so I'm not quite sure what it's all about, whether there is a state of emergency, whether the looting continues in Johannesburg or around the country. I'm not up to date with the local news, but what staggered me is that against all of this, and it's pretty serious stuff in South Africa, we have a market here that's just running away. It's just rocketing. Against that news. That's the irony.
Your news flow from the sort of CBDs of both Pretoria and Joburg has gone a little bit quiet, and there's quite a lot of sort of fake news. You were getting sort of videos on your WhatsApp, which were actually from a few years ago. Still unpleasant scenes, but we kind of sometimes our own worst enemies in these situations. Probably things weren't as bad as it appeared on social media, but that news flow has gone a bit quiet. Let's hope that your government's on top of it.
Greg, let's just start with the Stock Exchange News Service announcements. We covered them in the opening, but obviously we have to cover them again today. And we've got here Impala Platinum Holdings. They came out with their results at 7:05 this morning. The share price just coming off a little bit from its highs.
Yeah, it's disappointing. We have a good set of numbers and, all sails to the wind and all of that. It's just picked on a day where the platinum price is quite a bit of a pullback. The rand strengthened quite a bit over the last sort of 2 or 3 days. So it did touch a high on the news this morning, first thing, around 91 rand. Finished the day at 85 rand 60. So actually down 0.75%. But I think just the platinum index was weighed upon a little bit, certainly this afternoon once the US markets open. Mm-hmm. But an excellent set of numbers. And most welcome to getting on top of that debt, and it really looks positive going forward.
David Shapiro, you're not a gold man, but are you a platinum man or a PGM man?
This has been driven by by the movements in gold, and I don't think it's a fundamental demand that's really driven it up. It's just been another safe haven, and my fear is that it can go down as fast as it's gone up. And Greg mentioned that when we saw treasuries in the US going up, when we saw the equity markets going up, dollar improving, and that gold came down, gold's come back. It's heading back towards 1,500 instead of 1,600. And likewise, platinum, which was, I think the futures traded above 1,000 today. I'm not sure where it is, but the spot price has come all the way back to about 915 or thereabouts. I haven't last time I checked, 951, sorry, which was down about 3.5%. So I'm a bit cautious that, you know, if we do get equity markets going, you're going to find this move out of safe havens and, you know, down comes platinum and gold, which is fine. It's a good thing.
Very quickly. Yeah. And the stocks have really run very, very hard. I was looking at, you know, Harmony, Goldfields and those things were up over the last sort of 12, 13 days, were up over 20%. So it was inevitable that there could be some sort of consolidation. I think it's a buy the dip situation with golds, but who knows?
I don't think it's a buy the dip situation when it comes to property. And everybody said that last year, 2018, when we saw 25 to 30% down on certain property counters on the JSE Securities Exchange, it must be a bounce back this year with interest rates falling, etc. But HighProp came out with their numbers today. And the share price, as far as I can see, that's a nervous laugh, by the way, my delayed screen shows down around about 11, 12%.
Yeah, 10%, yeah. And the backdrop to that, and I'm trying to work it out, while they concentrated on income coming out of South Africa, distribution up and distribution up in East Europe, where they're focusing on, still a lot of problems in Sub-Sahara. And they're basically writing off or selling those interests. And I think that's where they took the impairment. Lindsay, you know, what you understand with property companies is that they raise money on the back of the value of their properties.
Yes.
So when you start to impair, that means that you have to hold back on your debt as well. You know, it lowers the levels on which you can leverage your balance sheet. So I think maybe that's why the markets responded the way that it did. They only cut their distribution by 1.5%, which is not dramatic, but I think it's just worries about the punishment that they're going to take in Sub-Sahara. They did write off, I'm just trying to look for the amount. I wrote it down.
It's about $1.46 billion.
Okay, there you are. So they wrote off a billion, which is means that, you know, you have to reduce your debt or you have to be careful about your loan to book, your value to, you know, the amount of the properties and, you know, that loan to value, that's what I was trying to look for, that you can raise. So I think, it's a bit of a worry because when you write off properties, that's direct to the, that comes direct, as in other companies, it's a direct impact on your, on your profitability.
Also at 7:05 this morning, alongside HighProp, came another company in a completely different sphere of influence, and that was Assor Limited. Short form provisional results for the year ended 30th of June 2019, Greg, down around about 5%, I think.
Yes, also not the best day to come out with numbers with a strengthening rand, but yes, the share price being clattered a little bit down 5.8%. That's an 18 rand fall back to 300. Market not too enamored with them, but it has also been a stock that has been running and was probably due for some consolidation.
The problem there came on their chrome mine, you know, the iron ore mines that they have, which is Assmang, very, very strong. That's with ARI, African Rainbow Minerals, and that's jointly owned. It's a 50%. It's actually a joint venture because there's no control, but each owns 50%. But when you look through it, it was on the chrome ore where they took a bit of punishment. And I think that's why the market's taken them down. Also, the outlook a bit cautious. You know, if you read the outlook statement, there's a couple of warning signs there about geopolitical situation and also uncertainty, you know, regulatory uncertainty in South Africa. So a bit of a cautionary note there, which might have just destabilized the market.
Did you see they've just had a record dividend year of 24 rand? It's not one which I followed closely, but we thought of that would have given the market a little bit of comfort.
I think they went up initially, Greg. You know, when the market opened, they went up on the results. I think maybe closer reading, a little bit of concern.
It's
about
one of those, yeah.
Or Dwarfboom, or what's a dwarf? One of the mines. Dwarfsrivier.
Dwarfsrivier, yeah. I was trying to work out what that word was. Across the river.
Gentlemen, Massmart came out with an announcement which isn't results or a trading statement or a cautionary announcement. It says here, notices of change to the composition of the Massmart board, committees and resignation of the company secretary. Share price up nearly 6%. We'll talk about that another day. Sanlam came out with results. David Shapiro up around about 3%. What is your attitude towards insurers? Because aren't they a proxy for the market?
They are a proxy for the market. First, you've got to understand the language in which they are written. You know, as I say, Old Mutual uses acronyms. you can't understand you can't understand Adrian's language. You know, he's very articulate. He writes beautifully, but sometimes when you're doing accounts, it's very difficult to understand what it means. And then we've got Ian Kirk, who's a Scot. So you've got to try and understand his language in Sanlam as well.
You need a translator when he's talking.
But you know, the numbers weren't too bad. I couldn't work out why they were down 31% in their headline earnings, but that's all BE deals. You know, they issued about 5% to Patrice Motsepe as their empowerment transaction. So this is one,
have,
and that's
they must have impaired the gap between what they issued.
Exactly, which is about a massive kind of gap. So someone pays for that, and that's shareholders. You know, that's money you should have had in your bank, which has gone into someone else's bank account. So that explains why they were down 31% and why the market ignored it.
Yes, I mean, that's the Bloomberg headlines that still early this morning were saying 31% down. And so, we have to drill down into the story before you get the real story.
Yeah, I know, but you have to go through 40 pages before you get to the story.
Yes, obvious.
And look, that's, you know, that's
one of our traders has been on a speed reading course, and his strategy is to read the SENS announcements faster than anybody else in the trading room.
Gentlemen, MAS Real Estate, is it Mass Real Estate? Their announcements came out today. Share price up 21%. Do we know this one?
It's not one that I followed. You followed it?
No, it's been around a long time and converted from into a property company. I don't really follow it.
Okay, in that case, let's go straight to First Rand. Their results came out. David Shapiro, you're in the financial services industry. You know banks. Are we overbanked? Is this a bank that we should be looking at rather than Standard or Nedbank or Absa or Capitec or any of the new entrants? What do you think?
It's an okay result. You know, what can you say in an economy that's not growing? It's very, very difficult for them to really do anything. You know, if you look at their local bank, which is FNB, did pretty well. But then RMB was down, West Bank was down. I think they were also flattered by the inclusion of Eldermore, which was the offshore purchase, you know, which came in for the first time. So I think if you took that out, I don't think it would have been that great. It was included for the first time for a full year. So, yeah, it's okay. You know, their dividend, you also get a clue from their dividend, which is up 5%, but that's in line with nominal GDP. So, you know, nothing staggering.
The share price hardly did anything. It finished at 61 Rand, up 1.6%. I'm just looking at the chart going back to middle of 2017. It's sort of the range is almost, we're saying on the morning's pod, buy at 61, kind of sell at 69 for the last two years, really. So it is at the bottom end of its range. It had a little dip down to 54.60 when all the banks sold off recently. So it hasn't had a nice recovery off the lows. But sometimes when a decent, well, fair set of numbers comes out, and the market doesn't get excited by it. Again, similar to what we saw with Nedbank a couple of weeks back. There's nothing to get excited about. Yeah.
Greg, anything else out of the Stock Exchange news service announcements that you've seen today that have caught your eye as a short-term, medium-term, and long-term trader?
You know, just one which I actually sort of took my eye off for some time, but there was a ruling on the Constitutional Court in favor of Sibanye. Some people which were involved with Lonmin had tried to get that merger sort of almost reversed, and luckily sanity prevailed. I mean, Sibanye didn't have a great day today. It's actually had a rough week, back at 19 Rand 13, down 1.5% today. But that's also probably, as we were saying earlier, on that platinum price, which has pulled back sharply the last 2-3 hours.
And on that note, let's have a look at the spot prices, because the dollar rand.
Just quickly on sense today, Capitec. Capitec with a trade.
Least we forget.
Which was 18-21%. Pretty good number in tough environment.
Yeah, and the forecast they were was up for 21. Yeah. But I'm just noticing, I don't know if you've noticed it on Twitter, Dave, there's a couple of people now, almost like a Capitec haters club.
Yes,
and I'll tell you, saying these numbers look too good in this economy that we've got. I'm trying to stay on the fence, but I'm kind of a Capitec bear, but I've been hurt many times trying to short.
Yeah, I've got in front of me a report from Differential Capital, very, very detailed report called Unsecured Lending Has Consumer Sliding Towards Financial Ruin. How do we reverse course? So a very detailed report, which is one of these negative reports on Capitec, they make a very strong case about the unsecured lending story. I haven't gone through it because it's another 40-page
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is where the bears are coming in. You know, a lot of questions about the unsecured lending market and the health of it and whether or not they can. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. I can't say yay or nay. So please don't get me on the wrong side. Merely saying this report is circulating.
This Capitec is like Donald Trump. It's very divisive. It's got its lovers and its haters.
Gentlemen, the dollar rand is 14.86 and the British pound against the rand is 18.32 with the euro rand 16.42 and the euro dollar 110.50, let's call it. Onto the gold price now. This is tantalizing. It's now three times it's been to 1550, close to 1550, and hasn't broken through. And it's fallen back very sharply today. The gold price is down $33 an ounce, Greg Davies, at 1519. The platinum price is down $29 an ounce at 958. And palladium is down 12 to 1525, with the oil price going in completely the opposite direction, up 2.75%, $62.63. That's Brent crude in London. Overseas stock markets, well, as David said in the introduction, going mad because of trade optimism, I suppose, trade wars optimism. The Dow Jones up 452 points at the moment, up 1.7%, S&P up 1.5%, etc. David Shapiro, what news did you see that justifies these moves?
Look, there are a couple of factors. I think to an extent that, you know, this morning we heard that from the Chinese that they're going to be meeting the US in trade talks early in October. So that eased tensions a bit. Also, some data out today, particularly on the jobs. You know, there's an ADP report that comes out. It's a private payroll report. It's normally not that accurate when you do it with the official non-farms payroll. But, I mean, it's a number that was very strong, about 195,000, which was very, very strong. So I think that also underpins that. The economy is not losing jobs. Tomorrow we get the official job number. There are a number of estimates from 110,000 upwards. So I think that, and also there was the ISM, what they call non-manufacturing or the service industry numbers. You know, we had the PMI yesterday or the day before, which was down in negative territory, suggesting that manufacturing is going to come, you know, is contracting. But when it comes to services, the other way around, services increasing, therefore not affected by manufacturing. And I think all of this has got everybody very excited. So long may it last.
Yeah, you're right. You were saying in your introduction, I'm on the S&P, but I'm just looking. The high for the Dow was 27,398, and that was probably in about, as you were saying, not that long ago, probably in the middle of July. And we might make another attack on that at 26,780 right now. So it's possible we'll see north of 27 if we carry on at this pace.
There were two investment banks that came out with forecasts, I think 2 days ago. I was watching it on CNBC or something, and one said the stock market's going to fall 5%. The other one was very specific and said the stock market can rally 11%. I don't think anybody knows what's going on, David.
I agree with you. It's so difficult. That's why at the moment it's so difficult to understand where to place yourself. This has got me completely off guard. I think, funny enough, we're not hearing talk of recession. For the last week or so, that's kind of faded. I was listening to the IMF. You know, the IMF meets in September now for its annual meeting in Washington, and everybody gathers there. And they're increasing their outlook for next year from 3.2 to 3.5%. Sorry, from 3.2 this year to 3.5. And if you look at China or the U.S. And Europe, their outlook there is fairly reasonable. They don't always get it right. In fact, they never get it right. But at least they give you some kind of direction. You know, they don't get
comfort.
It almighty wrong. You know, they don't get it completely wrong
either. It's in a ballpark,
Gentlemen, the top five major movers to the upside and the downside. I'll tell you the top five to the upside now, if I can. That property company, MAS, MAS, whatever you call it, up 21%. Capitec up 4.7%. Discovery was a 4.6% winner. And this is an almost 20% move from the lows that we saw, I think, probably about 10 days ago. So a massive, massive move. Hammerson up 4.5% and PSG up 4%. Any comments on any of those companies, gentlemen, or have we covered them already, Greg?
Well, the Capitec has obviously lifted the PSG, so yeah. Those two, that's the parent. And you know, it's a very, very good move on Discovery. I actually thought we would have seen this move yesterday on the results, and as David was saying, Adrian's such a good communicator, you know, of his passion in his business, and it normally gets people excited, but they also took a 40-pager and decided to start buying today. I'm not sure on Hammerson's what the story is there.
Hammerson's the UK. It's yeah. I mean, the pounds have improved. I think there's slightly more optimism now that that the deal, what do we call it, a no Brexit deal. In other words, that they've stopped or they
ridiculous.
And poor old Boris has got to go. He's, I think, on Monday next week or something, he's going to try again for an election. Which is, I don't know whether he's going to get it through. Likely to happen this time once they've got that through Parliament.
So, David, I mean, Greg is a complicated issue. Greg Davies, David Shapiro, is a big fan of Boris Johnson. He's also a big fan of Donald Trump. I mean, I know, I don't think he really is in private, but he does it to wind me up. Boris Johnson, I would love, if I could go on a walking tour of the Drakensberg with anybody, it would be with Boris Johnson. He must have stories, and he gets drunk, and he's all sorts of bawdy talk. But the last person I want to be in charge of the country of my birth is Boris Johnson. He's a buffoon.
But the biggest economy in the world, everyone, you know, you kind of forget. But just be a very powerful position. But look, he's knocking heads together and he's trying to get something done. He may not do it. I mean, I'm very surprised from this point. He's had a few setbacks. But if he does, well, for me, he's Churchill number two.
He's had four votes in Parliament since he's been a Prime Minister. All four votes have been defeated. All four parliamentary votes have been defeated. He is going to be he's going to have the shortest Prime Minister. You go on, David. Yeah.
You know what, Lindsay? What I can't understand what's happened to the Conservative Party. I suppose it's the same as Republican Party, you know. All the visions we've had. This is the Conservative Party. Mm. Can you believe what's happened? They're completely torn apart. I don't know what they stand for anymore, to be honest. Anyway, but that's the country of your birth.
And quite honestly, I don't care. I really don't care anymore. They've disappointed me. What else were you talking about? Oh, Donald Trump. Let's talk about Donald. If we're talking about Boris Johnson, let's talk about Donald Trump. And on the Brexit theme, by the way, I spoke to a woman by the name of Jane Foley, who's the head of foreign exchange strategy at Rabobank in London. Rabobank is a Dutch bank. And she's an extremely erudite and articulate commentator, and she gave me 15 minutes this afternoon. You can get that on strictlybusinesspodcast.com. A really good analysis of foreign exchange markets with the backdrop of Brexit as well. Also a little bit of Donald Trump. And the thing about Donald Trump, let's annoy Greg if we can, David, because Donald Trump put up this cardboard chart of the progression of Hurricane Dorian. And it was probably about a week old or something. And then he got his marker, his black marker out, and he ringed Alabama and said, "You've got to watch out, Alabama, it's coming their way." And the National Weather Service came out 5 minutes later and said, "What are you talking about? It's not going anywhere near Alabama." And he blamed it on fake news.
I think he knows where that is.
He's never even been to Alabama.
He knows where Mar-a-Lago is, yeah.
Greg, give us the JSE closing indices, please.
Sure. It's actually a wonderful day. We sort of almost forgotten, but I mean, it's green all around. The banks up 2.55, financials up 2%, industrials up 1.66, retailers up another 1.5%, gold index doing the opposite as it always does, down 2.8, platinum's down 1%, resources up 0.9, it was pretty good with the Rand where it was. The all share then up 1%, 569 points better, 55,456. Just jumping to my volume screen. If I could just, 22.1 billion.
And David Shapiro, your shock of the day or your story of the day, please, let's end on that today.
I've got to think this one up.
I've got an idea for you, David. Did you see Gwede Mantashe's comments at the Australian Mining Conference?
Can you believe it? Yeah.
No, go on, tell me.
Tell him, Greg.
Okay, he stood up at a conference. I'll just make sure I've got the details. Yeah. People are going to think we're making this up. But he was there to push mining, investment in South Africa. And he said South Africa had discovered a mineral called hazeline, and it was only found in certain parts and with the richest deposit in the world, and you need it for these electric car batteries. Someone then did some research and found out that was an April Fool's joke from some years back.
No.
And his speechwriter had cut and paste. And I read the actual
hazeline.
April Fool version. It's very convincing. And obtainabilene or something as well.
and he made this in front of a whole lot of investors and a whole lot of miners.
Don't say this to
There's me. No coming back. And I've got a friend that's high in mining and high at the ANC, and I send it to him, and he just sent back an F-bomb and said, that's all I've got.
Hazeline. Vaseline's ugly cousin.
You're not going to beat that story.
David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Great fun. Thank you. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.